When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susi.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hey, y'all, if you have a ghost story that you want to send us, or a ghost photo, a ghost question, any of the above, go ahead and send it to us at ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susi.
And I'm JT Timmons.
And we are here with a ghost mail, as per usual.
You've got ghost mail.
Exactly.
Good ghost mail. I'm
we
excited.
Do. We do have good ghost mail. So before we get into that, I do want to let y'all know we have a very exciting announcement.
Yes, we had an announcement party for the Parajunkies a couple nights ago, and when we announced it, they were like super lit. It was like comments flooding the live stream chat. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. We're all so excited about this. So here it goes, Madison.
Yes, we are going to the Conjuring House.
The Conjuring House. We're doing an overnight at the Conjuring House.
Yes,
the whole place out for a whole night.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We're going to be alone in the bitter cold of winter in a haunted house
with in the middle of the woods.
Suspected demon activity in the middle of the woods.
Not suspected. Confirmed.
Confirmed. And other various weird activity.
We are going to get to the bottom. Well, or at the very least, we're going to be there. So
we are going to scratch at the surface of of the Conjuring House. But yes, we're going. JT is going to be turning 30 years old inside the Conjuring House.
We hope.
Well, hopefully.
We hope he makes it. To 5 o'clock in the morning, is that when you actually become?
5 a.m.
Yes.
Yep.
As long as
so at 5:05 a.m. if he's still alive, he'll be 30.
Yes.
Do you know what's really funny is I had a dream.
Oh no.
A couple nights ago.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. There's already things happening. So my mom has always told me that she wakes up at January 26th at 5:05 a.m. every single morning. She's done it for how old am I? 29 years now, and so. I had a dream that she called me and I was leaving the Conjuring House, and she goes, because she knows obviously that I'm turning 30 inside of it. And she says, hey, JT, I didn't wake up at 5:05 this morning. This
dun,
is the
dun,
first
dun.
Year. And I remember thinking in my dream, do you think that a negative spirit was trying to block that connection to me and my mom? And those are just that's what this podcast is done. I have those types of dreams.
I was going to say, that's a very detailed
It used to be that I would just be covered in pug puppies, like for my entire.
You dream. Exchanged pug puppy dreams for nightmarish demons stole your connection with your mom.
Thanks, podcast. No more pug puppies. Nope. Demons blocking my connection to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Well, yeah, and I hope that happens because that'll be very interesting content.
Because it'll be a good story.
It'll be a good story.
Your torment will be great for the podcast.
Hey, you know what? That's why I married her.
always thinking of the podcast. Gotta.
Always thinking.
It's like how do we spin this? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah.
There you are. But yeah, we'll be there.
Yes, we will.
And we're bringing our editor Debria,
yes,
who is afraid of everything.
it's her second ghost hunt ever.
I like came in the other night and I was like, "Hi," and she was like, "Ah!" And I was like, "Oh, you're going to be a lot of fun at the Conjuring House."
Yes. She just gets scared about everything.
And she didn't know until after she was put on the list of going with us.
Yeah, yeah.
So she found out the other night and she lost her mind.
Yes.
So she'll be dreading that night for months now.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
And hopefully we'll just have a lot of great footage of, you know, funny Debria interactions and reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So we're going to be doing a documentary. While we're there, just a documentary, like vlog documentary of our entire trip. We're going to be doing a series, most likely in the month of January is what we're thinking. It's probably going to start after Christmas when we come back from our season break. We're going to start it with a series of The Conjuring, and I'm thinking probably one episode out of the week, because we drop two a week, will be the new one for The Conjuring, all the way leading up to us actually staying in the Conjuring House. So we're going to be doing an in-depth dive, and we're also going to look into what the other people, like the Ghost Brothers, have stayed there. We're going to watch that episode, and we're going to talk about what their experiences were, maybe even have them on the podcast, because now we're homies and it's great. And then also talk about our Two Girls One Ghost experience, with the and their experience with the Conjuring House and all that. So it's going to be super fun.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing The Conjuring House right now. And it was interesting because the Two Girls, One Ghost, they brought up how it was the 10-year anniversary of the movie.
Of the movie, right.
This year.
Well, and because they restructured The Conjuring House over the pandemic. They kind of restructured both the access to it and how you can, you know, rent out an overnight and all this stuff. Because I think that people realized what a destination it is for so many people, and you know, mostly because the film brought it right up into the, you know, the zeitgeist of paranormal you know, entertainment.
Yep. So Kalani also just stayed there a couple nights ago.
We'll even have him on the podcast to talk. Sure. I'll hit him up.
Talk about y'all's experiences, and we'll compare notes. So we're going to start out with some ghost mail, though.
Ghost mail.
A nice little entertainment section of announcements. Alrighty. So let's start out with two spooky stories from Melissa Ducate.
Hey, pair junkie.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. So, hi friends, I'm back with some more ghost mail. I was going to send an email with stories all about my childhood home, but instead decided to give you my two most spookiest. Very nice.
Heard that.
So, one from my childhood home and one from an ex-boyfriend's home. I'll start with the ex-boyfriend's home. It had to be early in the year because it was chilly out. It never really gets cold in southeast Louisiana, and I know it was before Mardi Gras. I was dating this guy, and we'd usually go hang out in his room and watch TV. During Louisiana winter, it's usually warm enough for shorts during the day and cool enough for sweats in the evening, so I would wear layers. This particular day, at dinner time, I decided I wanted my boyfriend to take my car and go grab us some food while I stayed and watched whatever I was watching. I'm a cinephile, so I'm sure whatever I was watching I could not be parted with. And while he was gone, his room started to get chilly, so I slid down to the foot of the bed where my sweats were and began to put them on. I looked up and saw a dude standing in the doorway watching me, and I jumped back. A dude.
Oh, God.
Just a big honking man standing in the doorway. When I did, he was gone. I was so scared, and my boyfriend could not return fast enough. I don't think I spoke to him for 5 minutes after he arrived. I couldn't find the words. I finally just asked him straight up, "Is your house haunted?" This maniac, without skipping a beat, just nonchalantly says, "Yes, by my cousin."
Hey, there you go.
Who killed himself in my backyard.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
what?
Wow.
What? And that's Melissa's wording. What?
Yeah.
Melissa, I'm going to go ahead and say, a lot of people, when they're like, "Is your house haunted?" It's like, yeah, and they don't actually know the story, mm-hmm. which is so aggravating when somebody's like, "Yeah, this place is haunted, but I don't know what it is," you know, or "Yeah, there's a guy who just shows up," and it's nice to have like such a definitive answer. It's like, "Oh yeah, my cousin."
Yeah,
totally. That's totally my cousin.
100%.
Absolutely. No just no nonchalantly. Question. I really, really, really thought he was being an asshole and messing with me. He then tells me that his cousin, who he was very close with, did what he did when he was a teenager. Trigger warning. He went into a little tool shed in the backyard, sat on a bench, and put a shotgun in his mouth. Oof. Over a girl, allegedly. Mm-hmm. He then, again, nonchalantly tells me not to be scared. He's probably just checking me out. I didn't want... That's even worse. Yeah. Tell your cousin to keep his eyes to himself.
Yeah, a certain creep factor there.
But anyways, I didn't want to walk through that doorway, but I wanted to out of that house. I even considered climbing out the window.
Yeah.
This is the only time I've ever seen a full-on person. It was quick. It was alarming, and I've never been the same. The second story happened at my childhood home, and it didn't even happen with me. It happened with my mom and my 2-year-old son. One night, my mom was watching my son, and my dad worked night shift, and my brother was working late, so it was just her and my son. The house was dark, and they were watching TV in the living room when my son looked down into the dark hallway and excitedly screamed, "Papa!"
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves when their child screams, "Papa!" in the middle of the night. Alarmed, my mom leaned her head to see what he was seeing when my son said, "Uncle Bruce," to make it.
Uncle Bruce.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was him. No, he's perfectly alive.
He's perfectly alive.
But, well, he could be haunting her. You never know. Ooh. Anyways.
It would be odd, but not impossible.
To whatever he was looking at in the hallway, to make it just slightly more terrifying, with a shaky, scared voice, my son says one more time, "Papa?" Before my mom jumps up like the baddie she is and flips on the lights.
The baddie?
Nothing. She even searches the whole house because I guess she knew no living person was actually there. What scares me about the story more than anything is the fact that at the end of the hallway was my bedroom, and whatever my son saw looked like a large man. Ooh. I'd love to hear what y'all think. You all are so incredible, and I appreciate everything you do. You're truly a safe space, and thank you for creating this little community. Aww. Send Patrick my love.
Melissa. And Patrick are getting fans.
Yeah. Yes.
Patrick has more fans than I do.
Yeah, there's going to be Patrick merch one day.
We do need Patrick merch.
Yeah.
Target sees us. Anyway.
Well, he's ours now.
I can make Patrick merch.
Yeah.
I'll do that. That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, little Batcher cat, cute.
Is it crazy that the scariest thing, in my opinion, of course, it's subjective, but the scariest thing that a ghost can do is just freaking stand there?
It's pretty scary.
Well, yeah.
Because there's all this hidden intention.
Yeah.
It's not that it's standing there. It's like, what is it doing? You know, what's its plan? What's going to happen? You know, when something is like charging at you, sure, scary, but you know its purpose is it's coming at you, it's moving, mm-hmm. it's doing something, you know, just to have something just stand there, I would put that in because it's that weird sensation that you're being watched,
mm-hmm.
that there's something there that is, you know, just omnipresent, and yeah, that's a That's a heebie-jeebie factor.
Heebie-jeebie. Well, and plus, humans are fidgety. And so it's like when you see something that is just standing abnormally still, it puts you on guard because I don't know if it like just goes back into our little monkey brain portion or if it's just like predator. You know, it's like
predators get very, very still before they strike. You know, they're sneaking up. They get, you know, that, you know, if you see a cat right before it strikes, it gets to that point at which it tries to. You know, I had a dog ranger who right before he would like attack something, he got so still because his goal was to kill all cats.
And he's when, like my mission.
But when he found a cat, he didn't charge it.
Yeah.
He got so still that the cat would ultimately lie down in front of him. It was the weirdest thing. And I'm like holding the leash and trying to pull him away. But he's like,
he's just like,
don't mess with me.
Oh, wow. He's like, I will eat.
I'm about to kill this cat.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Well, you know, Chris, you were the one who said that the scariest thing is, like, the scary thing about clowns, for instance, is that they look almost human.
Mm-hmm. Almost human.
And almost human. And it's like when things are almost, oh, there goes Jingles.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost human.
For the listeners who don't know Jingles, Jingles is our new clown doll. He jingles. And,
he does jingle.
And
he's saying hello.
He makes technical difficulty happen. And,
yeah, he is.
And next time that does happen, he's getting burned. So.
Don't burn.
No, we just burial. Put him on your keys.
He has a keychain ring on him, but he is a good, like, 10 inches tall.
Oh, my God.
So, but you're not going to lose those keys. This would be a great thing to put like a gas station bathroom key on.
Oh yeah,
he'll make sure you lose your keys.
He'll be like, oh.
Because he's up to mischief all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First day we got him, it was the only podcast that we had to stop in the middle of the live stream because we had so many technical difficulties and we never
multiple.
We have 2023 equipment. And it just everything was going wrong.
And then the power went out.
And then we had a blackout, right in the middle of it. Yeah.
And, everyone's like, Jingles!
Jingles!
Anyway.
He does that.
So, those were two super creepy stories. I've seen a lot of a lot of videos on social media because, you know, my social media be like really on haunted.
That's right.
You're on haunt talk.
Because I love videos of ghosts, even if they're scary and fake and you know that they're fake, I do enjoy them.
They're compelling. More realistic. Because one of the things about like people who perpetrate fake videos, their intent is to alarm or to scare or to, you know, but there's a deep seated desire for it to be real.
Yes.
And, you know, there's something that mechanically is going on where our need for the veracity of a ghost story to be, you know, because being met by skeptic after skeptic after skeptic, it's like, I'm gonna make something that they can't deny. You know, I'm gonna show them something that they can't deny. And it's fascinating because there is like this wide range where I've seen many videos that people are earnest about how true it is, but my mind can't wrap around it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, you know, that's more than and you immediately go to, well, how would I pull that off? Mm. How would I do that? Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, that's kind of easy. I'll just do this or just do that. Yeah. But I do enjoy the notion that there is, you know, just a cadre of people who feel it necessary to create these things because it's the classic ghost story. It's the classic, you know, campfire. Our campfire is turned into a computer screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. That's so true.
And, you know, there was a time when we used to gather around and people would tell you the story of the woods. But now we've got the entire world telling us the story.
I prefer the campfire still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I enjoy it personally, one-on-one ghost stories. Even in the podcast setting, it's like it's not the same as being in a small group of people in a kind of eerie place, getting that, you know, firsthand story.
It's true.
What I was saying with that was I've seen a lot of videos of kids looking into dark spaces and being like,
or animals.
Who's that man? Who's that? Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's super creepy. Madison, you were smiling for a while there because when you have something on your like on your mind? You smile. What was it? I have to know now. You were smiling ear to ear. Anyone watching on YouTube will see it.
And my brain's not functioning fully today, and so my brain went to this place of, if you've ever watched a How Ridiculous video where they strap Rexy to these things and they launch him into space, or they bash him with things. And I was like, what if we did a video where we just attach jingles to things? That's what you were, that was okay. Where my brain was.
Literally. Oh my gosh.
Oh, and I just pictured how funny that would be to just launch jingles on a rocket to I don't know. That was where my brain was.
maybe we could film it in slow motion, me shooting him with a shotgun. How about that?
Not the same. I want to.
We don't want to obliterate him, because what would really be funny is if we could put him through a series of tests and he just wears the damage. You know,
right.
I'm going to come in my computer's fried.
Jingles is that's like...
true. We are openly threatening Jingles. So yes, if you don't hear from us, you know what happened. It was Jingles.
Literally, hold on. I'm going to get a shot in 1 second.
That guy.
That's Jingles.
Jingles.
Garbage.
Jangle,
should I
jangle.
Give him one of the swords so he can, so he can at least has a fighting chance?
Horrible pain to us.
It's gonna be like Pet Cemetery. He's gonna come and slash our heels.
Our Achilles heel tendons. Oh, yeah. That was one of the worst
gore scenes.
Shots. It was so intense.
Oh, I love that scene.
Yeah,
that is one of my favorite scenes in any movie, is when he puts that knife through the Achilles heel and slices it. Oof.
So intense.
Good gore.
Yeah. So good. Also. Completely side note, but relating to movies, The Blob is one of the most underrated horror films.
Yes. You're talking about the remake, right?
No.
The 80s or the original?
The 80s, yes, the remake.
Yes. Yeah, yes. No, amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's so good. If you haven't seen The Blob,
it's amazing.
It's like 86, I think. It's incredible gore. It has a storyline that is very fun.
And up to that point... there were a lot of effects and things that happened that had not been seen.
Yeah.
You know, certain things became commonplace, but there's a scene involving a kitchen sink drain that really, truly, like, I saw it in the movie theater when it came out. Mm-hmm. And I remember my brain going, that's new.
Yeah.
That's new.
That's a new one.
That's a new one. I'm... well done.
Yes.
But it's a great homage to the original, but I actually think it outpaces the original in just plot. It does a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
Sorry. Now that we've tangented,
we have ADHD'd all over the place.
Well, she did mention that she was a cinephile.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. Here we are.
So you'll appreciate
talking
that.
Movies.
Yeah. That's for you, Melissa.
Yes.
But okay, moving on though. This one has pictures. So,
pictures.
So, basically, they said, I wanted to send these to you guys. They are from a listing in my town. Oh, yes, realtors, send us your ghost photos.
Yes.
I've seen some really good ones. Some, you know, people showing houses and being like, what is that?
It's like, oh my God. But these are from a listing in my town. These photos are straight off the listing. I know the listing agent, and they did not even know this had shown up in the photo until myself and a friend reached out. So as far as I know, they have not been doctored or edited in any way. Apparently, the husband in the photo on the fireplace passed away several years ago. Looks like he is still hanging around.
You're going to drop it to me so I can have it for debris.
Yeah,
also
so there is three.
Ooh. Airdrop them over.
Really pretty house. Hold on. Trying to download.
It's all good. It's all good. So you see the husband's on the fireplace?
Yeah, there's a portrait of him.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking this dude's on the fireplace, like crouched. I'm like, okay.
Oh, no. No. Hold
that's
on. No, there's lit. Like an establishing sort of photo, and then there's one where you'll find it very quickly.
All right.
Okay, and then take a look right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I actually saw this online, but it's very crazy because it is
take a look behind the bar, Jay.
For those people listening, it seems to be a glowing entity.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, always fascinating because a lot of people get like dim or shadowy or, you know, impressions or very hyper realistic. This is almost like a photo negative shining. What? You know, yeah, that's what? Like,
mm-hmm. Is it the blur? Is this so? No. Read what she.
So Jay.
Yeah.
Do you see the photos of the room?
I see the photos of the room.
Yeah, so that's
the
just
bar.
Well, so that's just for the
context.
For the context for the portrait that she's talking about.
Yeah, but it's the bar.
The bar. Okay. Look behind the bar.
Yeah, I see it.
Zoom in. Yeah. There's like a whole face.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's blurred.
Well,
we're talking about the same thing.
I mean, it's an old photo, but still.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it's weird. It kind of reminds me of if you've ever seen those. Those crystal blocks mm-hmm. that they put a 3D photograph into.
Yes. Yeah, where they etch something
right,
into it.
Where they etch something into the crystal.
It looks like almost if you ever rode the Haunted Mansion at Disney World, the projections they do of the ghosts, yeah. It feels like that, where they're like in the
barn. So we're talking about the head to the right side of the body.
There's like
right?
a whole body.
There's a whole body. Yeah. It's got a shoulder. I see a jacket. I see...
Yeah.
You don't right see next the to shoulder. That bag. So there's a bag, and then it's on the wall behind the curve of the arch.
What on earth are y'all talking about? Because I see a face peeking over the top of this bar. Yeah.
In the corner?
The corner. I see his face. Do you see the gray face?
Gray face.
That's not what we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about this.
Oh. What the heck is that? What the heck?
Were you looking at the wood grain of the thing and seeing faces?
Dude, I don't know what up. Madison, show what I was looking
at. He was looking at. He was like.
It looks like a girl's big old head.
Right there.
But it's blurred.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I would think those. Yeah.
What is going on?
No, we're talking about the whole man.
That's a whole dude.
The glowing guy. He's like looking at patterns in wood, going, "I see a face," and we're like, "There's a glowing man just 2 inches away."
So what's the story behind this?
So basically, she knows the listing agent, and this is from an agency or like from a listing
in her
town.
It's a listing for real estate, a realty listing.
That's wild.
And so the listing agent didn't know that this was in this photo right. until she was looking at the listing.
She was told, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Geez. It's like, what is this? Crazy. Yeah, mm-hmm. That is amazing.
You can see his cheekbones.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that was what the context of the portrait was, is because they think that it's that guy in the portrait.
Right.
Wow. I really need to do the buttons for this podcast thing, for the Rode Podcaster, so I can hit like, hell no. You know, whenever things like this happen.
Yes. Especially scary things.
When especially spooky things happen.
Goodness gracious. You can see the eyes. You mm-hmm. can see the cheekbones.
Right.
It looks like he has a smile.
He's like, oh, you like my house.
No, this looks like a house. Weird. No, this, look at the smile and how high it raises. Big jikes.
We got a big jikes out of it.
And then what in the heck is this, like, this thing peeking over the counter?
See,
Lord,
that
yeah
is very.
I don't know what it is. I cannot tell what that is, like, at all. But anyway,
I can't tell. I mean, I'm just so distracted.
So Chris, could you tell the people listening what exactly we're looking at?
Oh, so this is a real estate listing. So you're getting a large picture of a looks like a basement den, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bar. Now behind the bar, there is sort of a window archway that leads into, I'm guessing, a serving area. At the corner of it is standing what appears to be a glowing man. As if the only thing that you could see is where the light touches a figure. In fact, when you really look at it, it almost looks like he's underlit, like the light is coming from beneath them, almost like, you know, an old-fashioned ghost story. You put mm-hmm. the flashlight under your chin. Now, JT finds himself caught up on the fact that there is a strange anomalous shape that looks like a head that's kind of cut off almost at the jawline looking over the bar. But it is not as very intensely formed as the man. The man is definitely there, whatever it is, because it could be a trick of the light. It could be something that does that, although honestly, when you look at it, you just see a man standing there, but he is glowing. He's glowing. Like where there would be shadow, there is light, so it's like a negative. It's very fascinating. It's a fascinating picture.
And I'm not going to lie. What were you going to say?
I was going to say it's the fact that the real estate agent also didn't know – the listing agent didn't know that was there.
Because so. It's interesting because it's a very lovely house. It's a very, rustic looking place. Mm-hmm. And, when you're doing real estate photos, you're just like trying to get the full scope of a room. And then apparently they listed this picture. So people who saw the listing were like, "What's that?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "It's a beautiful house with four bedrooms, two baths." Wait, what? it's definitely one of those things where it would be a fully unintentional capture.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And to be honest, when people capture these photos, we've talked about this on the podcast, it's about who's taking the photo, not the camera, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is very true.
I've been thinking about doing like a test where we go around Savannah one night taking photos on both the DSLR, an iPhone, and then maybe some other camera, and seeing what captures what type of potential entity if we do capture anything.
And, if you're ever doing a ghost hunt, it is a good idea to pass a camera around.
Yeah.
To pass the camera around because someone in your group might be more in tune, or the ghost might be more interested. They may want to show themselves to a specific person.
Yeah.
So by passing a camera around, you're actually doing a couple of things. You're getting different vantage points and viewpoints because people are drawn to different things when they take pictures. You are proving that it's not the camera, but the different people who are holding it. So you're actually testing to see who has the most rapport with the spirit of an area. And it can change from place to place. That's something that's really important too. Mm-hmm. You can go into a place where the ghost doesn't like women, and so it's going to be more responsive to men. You're going to go to a place where it doesn't like men, more responsive to women. It could be about an age difference. It could be about, just your general energy, and it can change. You can just be in a place that is far more receptive to you than the person standing next to you, but that's not necessarily an indication of your abilities. Like you could be a very open and very gifted person.
Yeah.
But the ghost may not want to participate with you.
Right.
they may not want to engage with you. And that is simply because ghosts have tastes too. Ghosts have preferences. And some of them are well documented. You know that if this person was brutally murdered by a guy with a tattoo, then it's possible that if you have a tattoo, that ghost will stay away from you. It will be afraid of you.
So literally every millennial.
Go to.
Yes. So, moving on to our last ghost mail, we've got some Fright Night at the Mirabelle from from Dawn.
Dawn,
yeah.
This just
happened. Junkie Dawn.
Correct. So this Egg salad. Just happened.
And her man.
Yes.
Yeah. This was only 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, warning: this ghost mail could be long.
We love long ghost mails.
Yes. Hey guys, first of all, it was great meeting all of you Wednesday. Lunch was fun getting to meet you all. And of course, after we left, we went up to our room. Everything seemed pretty normal as we settled in, had pizza, and just chilled for a bit. We went to sleep early because we had a long ride back home the next morning. Little did we know that we would have a paranormal experience and leaving much earlier than we thought. Mo woke me up around 11:30 p.m. telling me that we needed to pack our stuff up and leave right away. He said that he had been woken up several times throughout the night, three times to be exact, and had seen a shadow figure each time getting closer and closer to him. He described the figure as wearing a long dark coat with a top hat. Immediately, I thought, the hat man! He didn't know who he was or what I was talking about. He had never heard of the Hat Man. He said that shortly after, he heard three knocks on the wall right next to a huge mirror that was facing towards us in the bedroom.
No.
And after that, he heard the three knocks. Then he heard a single knock and saw a woman crawling on the floor. And soon after, heard a whisper that seemed to travel saying, "Help me." I don't like that.
Oh, boy.
That's when he said he freaked out and woke me up. I thought he was joking with me. I questioned him several times to make sure he wasn't playing a prank on me, but I instantly saw he was shaking uncontrollably.
Whoa.
Trust me, he's not one to scare easily. He's been through a lot, including his stepfather. His stepfather was always looking for life's answers, so he decided maybe he should visit a cult because he wasn't getting his answers anywhere else. Rosicrucian, I'm not sure what that is what he discovered. He brought back literature, and soon after, in the family, experienced the smashing of dishes in the kitchen several times, etc. Not long after, his stepdad threw away all of his literature, expressed loudly for whatever or whoever was doing this to his family to leave, and suddenly the experiences stopped. Later in his 20s, Mo experienced a shadow child while he was home sitting for a couple of... house-sitting for a couple, and he noticed a Ouija board on the coffee table, but thought nothing of it. That night, a shadow child appeared while he was sleeping on the couch. He said that it was staring at him even though he couldn't see a face, and then the shadow child jumped off the backrest, and he could feel the indentation of the child jumping off of the couch and ran into the kitchen. Mo said he ignored it and tried to go to sleep right away. The next morning, he left as soon as he woke up and never returned to that house. Anywho, back to the story at the B&B. So I got up and started packing. We were putting on our shoes in the living room, and then there were three knocks at the on the floor between us. On the floor. I was shocked. Mo asked, "Did you hear that?" I was stunned, and I absolutely did. We rushed out of the room and headed home that very same night. Crazy, crazy. Got home at 4 a.m. and slept with the lights on for three nights. That's our story at the Mirabelle. I would love to hear your thoughts about this. Love to all, Don Nielsen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's all a big no.
What is that, y'all?
That is a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. And while that knee-jerk reaction of Hat Man certainly, is there and this qualifies as a Hat Man sighting, the fact that there was a woman crawling on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Crawling, that's the problem.
Well, yeah. It suggests something even more untoward, some desperation, some possible residual haunting of a terrible act that occurred there, especially with the whisper of a help me and these kinds of notions. And we've discussed before that mirrors facing your bed are generally a bad idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry for everyone who has mirrors facing your bed. because mirrors are kind of like, they're windows, let's face it. They're windows, and on the other side of the window are a lot of dark and terrible things that kind of want to come through.
Oh, yeah.
So what we're oftentimes dealing with, especially in transient places, is you could be witness to a lot of people's ghosts. Mm-hmm. People who show up in hotels and bed and breakfast and things like that, they oftentimes, drop their ghosts off if the energy of the place is strong enough to sustain them. Mm-hmm. So you could be experiencing multiple people's ghosts that they brought from all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that specific Airbnb is directly across the street from the Basilica of St. John, which could be where people come for protection and release and belief in their, in the hope that they can shed some of the darker things that follow them. And in those instances, the spirits oftentimes will, rush to a nearby establishment, hide in the nooks and crannies and in the corners. So I think that, that is a tremendously scary thing because of the repetition of the three.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the three knocks, or you have the three scratch marks, or you hear these, you know, when things happen in concurrence of threes, that is oftentimes an indication of demonic presence. Demonic presence tends to utilize three as their calling card, you know, allowing you to kind of almost anticipate what is coming for you, you know, that is them announcing themselves. So to hear three knocks, to, you know, see something occur in three consecutive ways at three consecutive times, those are classically known to be demonic presence.
Yeah, that was immediately kind of my thought process too, especially because of its location being across from the church. I thought the same thing, where I was like, I wonder how many people have come with things attached to them, come to this church, because everybody's like, I got something dark on me, gotta go see the Catholics.
And right,
so
right.
It's, you know,
I'm going to go to confession, I'm going to get blessed, I'm going to get this darkness off of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, well, where does it go? Does it dissipate? Does it return to hell? Or does it just go to that lovely Airbnb right across the street?
Yeah, with the waffles.
With the wonderful waffles.
Yeah. And they're like, demonic presence with a side of waffle sounds like a good time to me. And so
there you go. That should be their ad.
Right. Well, but still weird encounter, and weird for it to happen so quickly, where it was, you know.
And worth noting that if Mo has this lifelong kind of connection to it, you know, the idea that, especially when you're at a very young age and you're introduced to something like the Rosicrucians are hermetic order of it's complicated to explain the Rosicrucians without seeming inflammatory, because I would not classify them as a cult, but they do absolutely deal in occult, forbidden knowledge, hidden knowledge. They are absolutely dedicated to A, keeping secrets, and B, utilizing those secrets. So it's interesting, because that one of the allures of the Rosicrucians is that they have this incredible text of information that is about demons and ghosts and higher orders, and, you know, the current of the universe, and how to tap into it, and how to alter things, and how to change things. So to be introduced at a young age to that type of thing can make you a magnet for it, you know, can mark you as a person who can and should, you know, perceive these things. So I think in the short order, it sounds like you had a very intense interaction.
Mm-hmm.
In the long term, it sounds like there might be a gift at work.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that that you can hone, you can pay attention to, or you can try to seal and shut down. That is entirely up to the individual.
Yep.
Sometimes when you are faced with the prospect of a lifetime of seeing and experiencing things like this, you might want to just shut it down. And there's nothing there's nothing wrong with wanting to shut it down, and there's nothing wrong with going about shutting it down.
Shut down.
But a lot of people find that once the initial shock of it is over, you're in a new world. You know, mm-hmm. you now have the option to explore and see, you know, whatever there is to see that may not have been readily accessible to you before.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dawn.
Yeah, thank y'all.
That was creepy.
That was super creepy. So thank y'all.
Crawling entity.
Yeah.
Ew.
One of my favorites.
Oh,
crawling entities.
Certainly so good. Well, thank you all for sending in some good ghost stories and some good ghost photos and all the fun things. If you have a ghost story that you want to send us, or a ghost question, photo, what have you, all the things, send it to us at ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. We definitely would love to see it. But with that, though, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.